سيئات أعمالنا، من فلا مضل له ومن يدله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدين يسر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders and brothers, it is a great ni'mat and a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has blessed us with another auspicious and mubarak day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this day be a blessed one for us. The day is a blessed day, but we have to make it blessed for ourselves. The days of Jumu'ah will come and pass by, but how much of value we take of the day of Jumu'ah, it depends on an individual person. There are certain things that are, mentioned by our akabir, our elders. We must try our level best that we don't let the Jummah pass by without ensuring that minimum these few things we must do. And one is the recitation of Suratul Kahf. The second thing is with regards to the kasrat durud, to recite as much as possible durud sharif on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third thing is that before sunset, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, let us come away in the house of Allah, engage in some zikr and ibadat, and especially engage in dua. This is the time of dua. At that particular time we become neglectful. So let us free ourselves 15, 20 minutes before Maghrib Salah, come and sit down in a masjid and engage in the ibadat and in the worship of Allah. There is mentioned in a hadith that there is a day, time in the day of Jummah when duas that are made is never rejected by Allah. And from the practice of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, it is assumed that that particular time is before the sun sets on a Friday. Can't say 100%, but from her actions, because she used to tell us assistant in her home to like remind her, and then she used to engage in the ibadat and the worship of Allah and seeking and beseeching from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that particular time. So these few things, my dear brothers, not only ourselves, but try to make a ma'mul in our home as well, that we tell the ladies in the home, ask them, did you read the Suratul Kahf today? Ask our children, did you read Suratul Kahf today? Did you, recite Durood Sharif today? Don't make my tea now. After Asr, on Friday, you spend your time in the ibadat and in the remembrance of Allah by recitation of Durood Sharif. And you also spend your time in dua. So if we encourage our women folk, then inshallah we will find that this will become a practice and an adab in our home, that on a Friday this must be prevalent. Or if possible, from Maghrib to Asr to Maghrib, spend it in a masjid. Go for a late Asr, where the Asr is late, and sit in the masjid, make i'tikaf in the masjid right up till Maghrib. You'll be spending 1 hour, maybe 1 hour 20 minutes in the house of Allah. It is a very great ni'mat of Allah. My dear brothers, this very short time I want to touch on two important issues. I may have spoken about this in the past, but the number of cases that come in our office, it warrants that these different things have to be spoken about again and again. There was one of our very close friends and musallis, he used to read namaz here also sometimes. Allah make his maghfirat, he has passed on. And elderly person, one of his sons phoned me. He said, Papa passed away, and I want to ask the Jamia to mediate in the matter. I'm not happy. He didn't do anything. He didn't do everything Islamically. Now, we listen to the talks of Deen. We understand the importance and, the relevance of what I'm saying. You'll verify and you'll understand it. But I don't know, there's some reason why the implementation is not taking place. So we know the importance of the topic. I'm referring to his last will and testament. So he wrote an Islamic will that he did correctly. But I have mentioned this before and I'm repeating myself, that this is a very important amal of ours. Whilst you do it in your lifetime, is enacted after a person passes away. So, it doesn't necessarily mean that you write a will today or tomorrow that you're going to die the next day. Some people have this fear in their mind that if I sign my will, then I must be ready to die. So there's no, that's like a fallacy. Like, you know what they say, like an old woman's talk. Or they say like it's out of the hat. So there's no confirmation, there's nothing that you'll sign the will and you're going to die tomorrow, no such thing. But it's important, firstly, that you must have a will. Please, for Allah's sake, understand the importance of this, that you must have a will. If you don't have a will, it becomes a problem for not only your family members, it becomes a problem, you know, going on. In what sense it becomes a problem? You didn't give the steering wheel of your affairs to anybody suitable. That's what you basically did. Your car is running, your car is moving. Now all of a sudden you left the world, but you didn't make a plan, or you didn't give the responsibility of who's going to hold the steering wheel, so example, of your affairs after your demise. So that, what happens is that process gets prolonged. What gets prolonged is that the master has to then appoint somebody to now take on the steering wheel from your family or whoever they appoint. But the process is longer. If you took 10 minutes and wrote out an Islamic will properly, and you selected one person or two persons or three persons and told that this is the people who are going to handle my affairs, then, my dear brothers, what happens is that the process is quicker. And they get the, you know, executor letter quickly, and then they can quickly do the distribution of the estate to the beneficiaries of this, of the person who has passed on. So the heirs get whatever their assets are, or whatever is belonging to them, in a quicker way than prolonging it, delaying it. If we delay the matter, my dear brothers, let us understand, we're living in a very challenging time. So if you delay something, or it gets delayed for whatever reason, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, you people here, most of you are business people, you all know better than me, that the values of things, they change. So when a man passed away, the value of his business might be 1 million rand. But at the time of the distribution of his estate, now, when he's distributing after maybe 2 years or 3 years, that value of that estate, it might go up, it might go down. So there's going to be a dispute between the beneficiaries and the person who's managing the estate. The correct procedure in the Sharia is the day the man passed away, you have to shut the business. You have to hold on with everything, you have to take hisab and kitab to know exactly how much this man owes, how much people owe him. And the third thing is that now everything becomes an estate. So if he's got wife and children, then his wife and children now become beneficiaries. If he's got only female offspring, if he's got female offspring only, then his wife and his brothers and sisters become shareholders in that estate. So that business is running, and we are continuing with things as normal. But my dear brothers, the khatra and the worry is that we will be distributing an incorrect amount at the time when we are distributing it, because a hisab is supposed to be made at the time of the person passed away. So the values of things change. Now some people managing, they don't manage the affairs in a proper manner, then my dear brothers, what happens is that forever after, for perpetuity, there is like haram mixed up in our wealth. So a person who may be in charge of the affairs of his family, upon the demise of, let's say, you know, the husband passed away and there are brothers who are involved in a business, etc. It is very important that we have to know exactly what is the status of each person in a business. It cannot be assumed. So sometimes the son feels that I worked with my father, my one brother became a lawyer, one became a doctor, one became this, one became that, my sisters got married. Now these complaints come in the jamiat. So the son who is with the father in the business, he says that I helped my father to grow this business. So he feels an entitlement of taking over the business and just carrying on with it. Now that is un-Islamic, you cannot do that, because if everything belongs to the father, then upon his demise, when he passed on, then it will have to be established who are his beneficiaries, who are his survivors. And the Jamiat normally asks for the next of kin affidavit. Next of kin affidavit. And that's such an important document, that in that document, whoever is submitting will tell you whether this person got one wife, two wives, three wives, four wives. It has to be written there. If now we're saying on a person who left the Islamic world. Number two, how many children he had. We just received one recently, Mufti Musa, my colleague who works in the fatwa department. He sent me the thing and he's saying that the person is asking us to do the distribution according to four sons, but the next of kin affidavit got three sons. Now, my dear brothers, we can't go by what a person is just telling us to do. We have to go by what's written in a book, in the paper, in the next of kin. It's an affidavit. So we have to go by that. So he said, no, send the paper back and tell them to refill. They said, maybe one of the secretaries filled it. You see, we don't give it importance. So you ask your secretary to fill it in. Now she knows only three brothers. She didn't know the one brother is probably in Durban or maybe in London. Or he may be studying in India. She doesn't know. So she filled everything in and she just gave it to you to sign it. You sign it, never even check it up. And you submitted that documentation. Whereas one son's whole share would have got left out. So the thing is, my dear brothers, I'm again emphasizing, what is the purpose of, repeating and saying these type of things, is I'm bringing to you life situations with which we have to deal with at sometimes in our office. So the brother phoned me, he said, my father passed away, he left the Islamic world, but Maulana, in his will, he had written there that I had given this property to this daughter, I had given this piece of land to my grandson, and I had given this piece of land to my other son, and he didn't write anything about me there. So what is the Islamic ruling about this? It's a valid question, my dear brothers. Or maybe he gave it in his lifetime, but there was some problem with what he did, and I want to explain that. It is very important in the next few minutes that we have. There's a difference between giving a gift to somebody and still keeping the possession and the right of being able to, to apply yourself in that particular thing. You can't give your son that. Many people are concerned. Many husbands, they phone or they come for a meeting in our office. Now, because the son is not there, nobody is there. Now, only sometime maybe the father comes, the husband comes alone. He says, Malana, I'm very worried about my wife. What will happen to her if I pass on? Sometimes they don't want to speak in front of their wives. Many people have that. They want to rather be in private. And we afford you the opportunity to do that. Many a times a woman will make an appointment and she'll come. And then they speak to the muftis in our fatwa department. And they say, Maulana, I'm very, very worried. If my husband passes away, what will be my share in this house? What will happen to me? Now there's a Sharia ruling with regard to what is applicable. The wife gets a certain amount. So if the house belongs to you, then that whole estate, your wife will get and your children will get, your son gets twice the amount of your daughter. I'm just giving normal circumstances of a deceased estate. Now the wife is worried because she's only going to get 1/8. She's going to get 1/8 if that house is worth 1 million rand, for example. And many houses now, they're worth much, much more. So she's only going to be owning 1/8 of that house. The son will own the twice the amount, the daughter will own half of her brother's share. The thing is that the father is concerned that my son, his wife, will chase my wife out of this house. I got this fear in me. What must I do? How do I protect myself? So sometimes if you go to somebody who doesn't really know the rules of the Sharia, then they say, okay, you know what, gift your wife the house. But there's two things you have to concern yourself about if you gift your wife the house. The one thing is that how you know maybe your wife will die before you. There's no guarantee who goes first. So the husband might pass away first, the wife might pass away. And there's no such thing as a person is very sick, they're gonna pass away. I mentioned before, I'm not sure, one elderly lady came in our office, she was over 80. And she said to us that please facilitate a meeting with my daughters-in-law. My young son, he was only 43 years old, Malana, all of a sudden he had a heart attack. And he passed away. Now my husband was a businessman, I don't even know how my son used to pay the light account and pay this account and pay my phone account. I'm an elderly lady, I got no money, nothing. I got a big house, but I got no income. I don't know how I'm going to look after this house. So that bichara's son, it's possible that he may have thought in his head, Allah knows best, that where my mother is in her 80s, where I'm going to, you know, where she's going to outlive me. But this was a amar of Allah. We don't know who's going to go before who. This is, you know, from the things that are hidden, this is one of the things, when a person will die, that is in the knowledge of Allah. We don't know. So anyway, my dear brothers, where the daughters-in-law are going to take care of the mother-in-law? Where? Very seldom you have situations like that. And alhamdulillah, I must say that there are some family members who do that. One estate we handled in our office, the elderly father was married to another lady. He was married to her for 1 year. So the children, when this father passed away, then what they did is that they gathered some money together, because the father had given everything away. He was a well-to-do person, but he had given everything, he had distributed it to his children, and he gave them ownership of it. Unlike the Baji who was our friend, he gave his daughter, he gave his son, he left his one son. Now in Shariat, you can either sell something to somebody, or number two, when you gift it to someone, you must make them the owner of it. What you mean by you are the owner of it? You can take it and you must be able to sell it. You must be able to gift it to somebody else. You must be able to dump it if you want to dump it, throw it away, because you are the owner of it. Now the person reads namaz 50 years, 60 years, all these other aspects are in order. But sadly, my dear brothers, sometimes these are some of the things that we don't take proper guidance and advice with regards to, and then unfortunately we fall short. So if you want to give something to your wife, for example, or you want to give something to somebody as a gift, then you must give them the full ownership of it. They must be able to enact and do what they want with it. It must be in their ownership. The other very important aspect relating to these particular issues is there are ways in which a person can, you know, can secure himself. He can secure his wife. You can sell a share to your son. Maybe your son is working with you in the business. But he's an employee. You have to know what is his status. Is he an employee in the business or is he a shareholder in the business? So if your three sons are, for example, well-to-do, one is qualified, one got a good job, now your one son is working with you in the business, if you pass on all of the people who are your, you know, survivors, your heirs, they will inherit all of them. If you feel your son is a, you know, contributor to the business, to the success of your business, then a good thing to do will be maybe make him a partner in the business. Or maybe sell him some shares in the business and he must pay you on a certain period of time. You can do that, where you sell something to someone and you, whatever amount. Or number two, you can, you know, make him a owner of a certain amount and you give him a certain portion of the ownership. So you make your son who's working with you in the business, you make him a 40% owner of the business. You own 60%. So if you pass on, then your estate is only 60% of that business. It's not the 100%. It's only the 60%. So I'm making two people alive to what I'm speaking about. Is one, I'm making the parents alive that if you have businesses and if you have assets like this, then make sure that you do proper planning. And the status of each person must be realized and it must be known that my son, he's an employee in a business. We get challenges in our office. The wife will come and say, but I used to do the books in my husband's business. He never paid me a salary. You see, we take things for granted. So if the wife is helping you in the business to a certain degree, whatever it is, she's doing the books from home or whatever else she may be doing, pay her a salary like how you'll pay a worker, and her status must be known that you are an employee in the business. The other important aspect relating to these matters, my dear brothers, which we must be very, you know, clear about, is that we must have our cards open on the table. I'm using this words, inverted commas, cards, meaning our aspects must not be hidden. We mustn't have like anything clandestine, quietly we are doing things. I mentioned before, I'm going to repeat it, one lady came to our office, she was married to one particular person and she was a second wife. And she said that, you know, they don't accept us and this is my child from my husband who passed away. Is this child eligible to be part of the inheritance of the deceased father? Then we had to tell her that when not only this child, but if he never divorced you, you were still married to him, then you and this child in Islam and in Sharia, both of you are eligible to get inheritance from your deceased husband if he left a proper Islamic will. So if you got a wife somewhere and nobody knows about it, only that woman knows about it, and you leave an Islamic world, you are going to create a very big problem for the family later on, because if that lady pitches up in the office, the only guidance we can tell her is that you got a claim on your husband's estate and you may have to utilize the expertise of an attorney or something, and you are eligible in the Sharia to get. So my dear brothers, let us be open with our affairs. Let us not be hiding and, you know, don't. Whatever now that other problems that come with these type of challenges that we have in our community, it's known to us, we all know about it. But the thing is that the law of Allah has to prevail, the law of what the Quran and Hadith tells us with regard to how distributions of estates takes place. These are very, very important aspects, my dear brothers. We cannot just do it on our own, because at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers, has enumerated the exact shares on the people who are supposed to be inheriting in the estate of a person. Why it's such an important aspect, understand and realize this, that firstly, namaz is faraz, but how many rakats you read is not mentioned in the Quran. Which namaz you read, how many rakats you read is not mentioned. But the share distribution of an estate is mentioned to the point, to the share, it's mentioned to the fraction in the Quran. So you can understand the veracity and the importance of this particular subject. My time is up, my dear brothers. This is a very, you know, in-depth matter. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us a tawfiq, give us the understanding that this year is very vital for us not to neglect, but something that we need to, you know, take the reins in our hand, make the appointment, sit down with somebody who knows and see how we can manage ourselves. Allah give you and me the tawfiq.